And turn in your Bibles now to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. The first part of this chapter, as we went through, was, of course, it was all prophecy to Daniel, but for us, the first part was all history, and tried to cover that quickly, but to get, at least give you some idea of what was going on and how what Daniel wrote of what was to come in the future actually came to pass, and how clearly it was illustrated in the scriptures. We come down now to verse 40. There was a breaking point here in verse 36, and this is what becomes now future for us today, beginning in verse 36. This king that is revealed here, which is, of course, the Antichrist, and how he's going to be showing up. Verses 38 and 39 talked about the God of forces and the worshiping of gold and silver and so forth. And then some resistance there from both the north and southern areas. And now down to verse 41. Daniel 11, verse 41. He shall enter, this is that Antichrist, that king of verse 36. He shall enter also into the glorious land, which is Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. And again, this is tribulation that we're looking at now as we read these passages here, the seven-year tribulation period. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. So he's growing in strength here. He's focusing his attention on Israel, though, at this time. And note the four entities that are mentioned here. You've got the revived Roman Empire, which the Antichrist represents. You've got the armies of the north, which today would be Russia and her allies, so they're factors in this thing. You got the armies of the south, the Arab nations, and then the armies of the east, which would be China. And all these countries are figuring into what's going to come to pass during the tribulation period. As we looked, and sometime I might go ahead and repeat that message on Ezekiel 38 and 39, but we looked at that, and as I see it right now, Turkey is the key. Wherever Turkey goes, or whenever Turkey goes, I think that's going to be the tip-off that things are finally come to a head and we're moving into this thing. So, Turkey kind of vacillates between the trying to be a part of the European common market and also with the Arab nations. And once it tips over the Arab nations, that's it. I think that sets up everything for stuff to start to unfold as we're reading about here. Let's look at Revelation 17 for just a moment. Revelation 17, verse 13. It says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Well, let me back up just a little bit. Verse 9, let's start there. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Of course, I believe that's Rome. It's known as the city on seven hills, the seven mountains there. Verse 10, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. These we've seen in Daniel there. Verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and he is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So all of these forces, all of these nations at some point are going to come together and be a part of this one world system. And then verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And that's what he's focusing on here in Daniel at this point. Look at verse 44. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. So suddenly something is going to disrupt this allegiance that has been formed there. And therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. That place where he's going to plant his palace is Palestine, Israel. But then it says, he comes to an end, and none will help him. Matthew chapter 24. I just want to run through some verses here and kind of link them up with what we've been looking at here in Daniel now. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Beginning in Matthew 24, of course, Jesus is talking all about the tribulation period. He says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is why nobody helps him. Because the Lord's coming back. And he's going to put an end to that thing. Go to Revelation. Keep your finger here in Matthew 24, but go to Revelation 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. I believe this is the Lord coming at the end, coming with that sickle. He says, it's time to reap, you know. But watch this, verse 17. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle, and gather the clusters of vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trod without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. A bloodbath like I don't think has ever been experienced on the earth. As this, which we've read about in Daniel and these other places, is all finally coming to pass. Revelation 19, verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Go back to keep your place in Matthew and Revelation. Go back to Daniel for just a moment again. Verse 44 again, it says, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Now, I'm not sure about this. I'm seeing the tidings out of the east. Which direction does Jesus Christ come from when he returns? Because that eastern gate is sealed. It's sealed till he comes. So this could very well be the tidings, as we read here just in Revelation chapter 19, of Jesus Christ coming back to set up his kingdom. Go to Revelation 16, verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Chapter 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So all these kings, all these nations have gotten together, aligned themselves against the Lamb. How well do you think that's going to work? Zechariah chapter 14. Again, keep your places here in Revelation and Matthew. Chapter 14. Zechariah 14 and verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And the blood will run horse bridle high from that battle. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither in the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as is not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God's going to intervene and shorten it to spare the elect. And then Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, and in his hand were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that ye may eat. Now this is to the fowl. This isn't the marriage supper. This is to these fowls to eat of what's the result of this battle. That they may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then it worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So back again to Daniel 11. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Questions or comments? Daniel chapter 12. That's Revelation 16, I think. No, 14. Revelation 14. Yeah, I think it could be. I was thinking there's some place that talks about a similar situation, only it says, hold it a minute, we got to mark some before you do this. It might be chapter 7. 6 or 7. No.
7:1-3.
Now, I was talking about a sickle in relation to it as well. Before the reaping took place, he stopped him from doing it to mark those and protect some. I don't remember where that was. Toward the end of the passage there, the chapter there, it talked about them thrown into the winepress of the wrath of God.
So is that cleaving out the bad, the wicked, for the war?
The one that are thrown into the winepress of the wrath of God is, I think it's the same thing. I think it's that war at the end time where all the armies are aligned against Jesus Christ. Because remember, as you go through Revelation, you're actually... You go through the tribulation, I think it's three different times through the book of Revelation. And it covers different aspects of what's going on during the Revelation period. But it takes you back through not through the whole thing necessarily, but parts of it three different times. And some overlap with the descriptions of what's going on there. Does that answer your question? Or?
I think so.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, back to Jason.
I have a question about that. Do you think that's actually going to be a rapture, like where they're wicked are gathered into the winepress? Do you think it's going to be a rapture, like our rapture, where we go flying up in the air, or do you think it just means that the nations are going to be gathered around Jerusalem, and that's going to be the big winepress, like a big meat grinder?
I think there's actually three raptures. There's the rapture that the church is going to take place, a part of. Then at some point midway through the tribulation, there appears to be another rapture. And then at the end, I think God pulls some out as well before he starts the reaping here to throw in the wine press of his wrath.
Instead of going to heaven, they're going to judgment.
Well, yeah, but before that, I think he pulls out again some of his people, delivers them just prior to this judgment that falls upon them. Yeah, but there was another passage that made it more clear, because there was an angel that stopped him and said, wait a minute, we need to mark these guys and protect them. But I can't remember what passage that was in.
14:1, it says 144,000 have his father's seal written in their forehead.
Right. No, that wasn't it, because it was there was something about a sickle and a marking before they thrust in the sickle. But I'm just not I'm not locating it tonight.
Is part of it chapter 7 verses starting in verse 9? It doesn't say anything about a sickle, but it's related to it. Like 9 through 17?
No, I don't think so. And it had to do with one of the angels as well. Yeah, I'm just not coming up with that. No, I'm pretty sure it was in Revelation, but so well, let's move on here. Any other questions or comments that I can't answer? All right, Daniel chapter 12. And there's a conjunction connecting what's here with what's come before. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the people, thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Boy, that's saying a lot. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So we got Michael introduced here again. Who is Michael? Archangel, right? The prince of the nation of Israel. It says he's standing up. These have some relationship. These angels, these princes of particular nations have some guardian role, so to speak, of a nation. And that's what Michael here, I believe, is doing, is standing on behalf of the nation of Israel. He was first described, that aside for a second. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Let's do that. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Revelation 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Michael's standing up there. He's fighting against the dragon on behalf of the nation of Israel. Something else, I think you all understand this, but keep this in mind. What we're reading here in Daniel and Revelation is about Israel. Has nothing to do with the church, because I believe we're gone at this point. The church has been raptured out. The bride of Jesus Christ has been taken. We're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, possibly, during all this stuff unfolding on the earth. But we're not here. So this is all about Israel. And the focus of everything is in the Middle East. I'm not saying the rest of the world isn't affected by this, but the the primary focus of everything that's being described as taking place is in the Middle East. The kings of the north, Russia and so forth, the kings of the south, Egypt and that, the east would be China and so forth. So all these nations are those that surround the nation of Israel. So the balance of what takes place is going to be centered around Palestine. They're the people experiencing what's described here and suffering the things that are here. They're the people that will be delivered during this unprecedented time of trouble. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9, verse 26. After 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So that's the first 69 weeks is broken up into 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So we've come to the 69th week. Then Messiah is cut off. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. That's all in that 70th week, that final of these 70 weeks described here in the book of Daniel. Go to Matthew chapter 24 again. Matthew chapter 24. Over in Jeremiah chapter 30, in verses 4 to 7, it describes this time as the time of Jacob's trouble. Matthew chapter 24, and beginning in verse 15, I don't think we read these verses already, but yeah, we did. Okay, it talks about the abomination, desolation, so forth, and fleeing if they're, hoping that they're not in winter, fleeing and so forth. So all that's the same thing. Look at verses 29 to 30 now in Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's a lot more than just a warfare on this earth. And when then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man who coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel, I think we're done with Matthew now, so Ezekiel chapter 22. Verse 17. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because they are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst thereof, as silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Now, there's a process that he's describing here. What is that? Exactly. That's all that's going on here, is God's purifying his people. And that has some bearing on what we get to, if we get that far tonight, later on in chapter 12 here. Look at Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. And I'll bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. That's what God's been shooting for. They claim him as their God once again. But this Michael stands up in this thing and starts on behalf of them. Look at Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 34. And I'll bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I'll bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness and the land of Egypt, so I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I'll cause you to pass under the rod, and I'll bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I'll purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I'll bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. God's purifying them and preparing them for what he has to come during the millennium. Questions or comments on any of that thus far? Verse 2. Daniel 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's a resurrection. The great white throne. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that win people to Jesus Christ as the stars forever and ever. No, that's not what it said, did it? Turn many to righteousness. To work salvation. Faith and works during this time. Moses, Elijah, the 144,000 are those that are going to shine, among those at least that are going to shine during this period of time. Look at verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So, okay, Daniel, close it up, seal it, and put it away. Because this isn't for now. It's for the time of the end. A time when people are running to and fro on our four-lane highways and our supersonic jets and high-speed rails. I mean, think about that. To them, high speed was maybe 15 mile, what's a horse run? 15, 20 mile an hour? Something like that? Does that sound reasonable? I mean, that's somebody poking down the road now. And what's going on today? You know, we catch ourselves coming and going. And said, oh no, I gotta run home and get something quick to eat, and I gotta run over here, and I gotta go to there, and many shall run to and fro. Man, that describes this day like nothing ever does. and knowledge shall be in Christ. And we've got these little computers that we all, most of you, carry around in your pockets, where you've got access to all the knowledge of the world, basically. Here, let me check that. And at your fingertips, you got those answers. Daniel had no concept of any of that. When I was in high school, I had no concept of any of that. No man at that time had any concept of any of that. What a time when we run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked. And behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. Now this whole thing started, this vision started with Daniel at the river. And he was transported from Babylon to, I forget exactly where it was now, it was Media Persia, I guess it was the river in Media Persia there, when he started getting these visions. And now it brings it right back to that, and he sees these two people, one on either side of the river, verse 6, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So you've actually got three people here, or three angels or whatever they are, one on either side of the river, but one's upon the water. It says he's clothed in linen. Let's jump back to Daniel chapter 10. I believe this same individual is mentioned here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. Well, that's the same thing the guy on the water in Daniel chapter 12 was wearing, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the barrel, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Well, now, who do you think that is? I believe it's Jesus Christ. And I think that's the same one that he's seeing here, that one of the angels speaks to, that's on one side of the river, the other speaks to him standing on the waters here in verse 6, verse 7. And they asked him, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So we've seen all this stuff. We've looked into the future. And Daniel understands it's for the future. But he says, but when? When's this going to take place? Verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he had held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, and times, and a half, and when shall accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, these things shall be finished. Now the time starts counting at the midpoint of that tribulation, the midpoint of that 70th week of Daniel, of Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And it's, he says, you start there, and 3.5 years from that, that's when the end of that thing. The time is a year, 2 times is 2 years, half a time is a half a year, 1,260 days. A time, times, and half a time. And he says this then. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. The holy people's Israel, right? So what's scattering the power of the holy people? Any thoughts? Let me tell you what I think. and I'm open to be corrected on this, I think it's all the things that they have trusted. All the things that they have put their trust in, that they have looked to as their gods. We read those verses in Ezekiel and so forth about the purifying, so that finally I will be their God, they will be my people, and I will be their God. That's what God's trying to accomplish, is to bring these people back to Him. And when He scatters the power of all the things that have controlled them, that they have surrendered themselves to, that's when these things will be finished. Questions or comments?
Mm-hmm. Was that before the tribulation of shortening?
Mm-hmm.
Even though everything seemed to be built around 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this expression here seems to complete that 7 year mm-hmm. period. Do you think God will shorten the time?
As we get, there are two different times mentioned here later in this chapter. 3.5 years is 1,260 days. Well, let's go ahead and look at that. We just will cover that right now. Let me see. Drop down to verse 11. And for a time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. So that's, again, that midpoint of the tribulation, when Antichrist takes control, when all hell begins to break loose. He says this, there shall be 1,290 days. That's 1,290 days. That's 30 days more than 3.5 years. I'm just throwing this out. I don't know. But maybe this is what God's saying He's shortening. That maybe in Daniel's vision, he said, here's what it's going to be. But then, I'm clutching at a straw there, but that's just a thought. And you can search it out, but you're not going to find a whole lot of help from anybody on what this means, the 1,290. Because then you go, verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. So that's 1,335. That's another 45 days added onto it, or 75 days beyond the 1,260. And but he says he's blessed that makes it till that. So I'm not sure what any of those are. Questions or comments? Any other questions or comments? Let's back up to verse 8. He says, and I heard, but I understood not. So this is the Jesus Christ, I believe, the one standing on the water that spoke, and it's going to be finished. You know, all these things are going to be finished when the power is, the people are scattered. And then Daniel, I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord. See that? What Daniel call him? O my Lord. All right? What shall be the end of these things? You know. Well, let me rephrase my question. You know, maybe you didn't understand what I was asking you. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for thy words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. We're done here, Daniel. All in good time, but you know, it's not for you. You've done what you needed to do, and just let it go. I think of Acts chapter 1. You know, when shall these things be, and what shall be the time of thy coming? Is not for you to know the times and the seasons. You know, sometimes God says, you know, none of your business. Just tend to what you need to do. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord. And that's God's answer sometimes. Doesn't concern you. Don't worry about it. You know, like John on Jesus' bosom. And Peter took exception to that. He says, don't worry about it, Peter. You worry about you. And that's kind of the way, it seems like the way he's answering that thing there. Verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed at the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. And again, we looked at that going through Ezekiel there, the purifying, the trying of things. But the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. There's some people, you know, evil men shall wax worse and worse, it said in 2 Timothy 3:13. And that's that purifying that God's doing. He's refining them. He's pulling out the ones that are going to be faithful and right. And he's discarding those who are going to, the wicked, who are going to do wickedly. And he says, the wicked, none of the wicked shall understand. They're not going to get it. But the wise. That is, the wise of the time shall understand. Because there's no question that Daniel was a wise man, but he was not a wise man of the time that needed the understanding. He says, when the time comes, they're going to get it. They'll have what they need. Let's see. Well, verse 11, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination to make a desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Another thought regarding these days could be that just cleaning the mess up. Those that survive to be able to there, be there for the cleanup are going to be blessed. Verse 13, but go thy way till the end be. This again is his answer to Daniel. Just go along, take care of your business till the end be. For thou shalt rest. I don't think he's telling Daniel to go take a nap. He's going to die. You're going to rest. And stand in thy lot at the end of the days. You're going to be brought back, Daniel, just like everyone else will be as well. Because as he said back in verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Questions or comments? Well, that concludes our study on Daniel. I hope that you've gotten something out of it. I'm considering going into Hebrews next. If you have any suggestions or requests, let me know. I'll consider those. Next Sunday, though, Ben is going to be preaching, so we'll have a couple weeks to get headed on something, but unless I hear otherwise, I'll probably go with Hebrews from here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your precious word. For the things that you've revealed there, and certainly there's so much that I and all of us don't understand, and some we don't need to. God, help us to grasp what we do need, to understand that but for you, we'd be on our way to hell. And if we fulfill the stipulations, the conditions, the requirements that you have for us, there's a reward awaiting for us. That you've given us your word and the word to communicate it to others, to let the Spirit of God take that word and pierce the hearts and bring them to a saving knowledge of Thee. God, I pray this study has been some help to folks, and where I've erred, help to correct those errors, Father. Help us, God, to draw closer to You. Keep us all safe in the travels and the things we're going to be doing this coming week. And bring us back safely again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.